Thank you. Our reading for today is taken from the revelation given to St. John, the third chapter, beginning with verse 11. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Professor Tigan and I are doing imitations of each other, so that's why one week he's up for me and I'm up for him. This letter that we're hearing from today is taken from the revelation given to St. John, and the Lord here was communicating to a particular congregation in the city of Philadelphia, and each congregation often has kind of its own personality. Talk to pastors, talk to your own pastor. If he served other churches, you'll find that quite often they'll say that each congregation sort of has its own personality. There's certain characteristics. And the characteristics here of the church in Philadelphia were of concern to God as he addresses them, that he wants them to make sure that what is good among them, the faithful, those that have loved Christ and loved his word, that they would, with intense faith, now hold on to that all the way to the end. And that's why Jesus gives this warning. Behold, I am coming quickly. This is the year in the church when we particularly think about the return of our King and how our Lord Jesus is going to come back into this world and bring his believers, his faithful, ultimately to their heavenly home. Notice he says, behold, I am coming quickly. There's a suddenness to this. He doesn't want any of us caught off guard. Jesus could easily have let us go without really giving us much concern in terms of being prepared, but we are his flock, his sheep. This is the shepherd who's laid down his life for his sheep, who's given up his life for them. And he doesn't want his entire mission of coming into this world to atone for our sins. He doesn't want all of that cast aside just because we aren't prepared for his return. And so frequently, as we hear in the readings in the last few weeks, frequently our Lord Jesus reminds his church to stay ready and to stay focused. So how do we do that? The way that we do that, this is a great place right here, is through the hearing of his word and through repentance of our sins. When the Holy Spirit, through the word of God, through the law of God, comes down into our hearts and convicts each one of us of the many ways that we have offended against God and against our fellow man, when it reminds us of the many things that by themselves would have kept us out of heaven, so that we completely give up on ourselves and completely give up on any hope as if somehow we had been good enough people that God would reward us with heaven. But then he comes in with the beautiful message of Christ, our Lord, and what he's done for us, atoning for every sin we've ever committed, and creates faith in our hearts to grab onto that cross and to say, I need that. I need that for my redemption, for my salvation, for me to have the hope of someday walking through the gates of paradise. This is what I need. This is the very faith now that our Lord has given to us. God created it in you. Isn't that great to know? It's not something we did. God put this in us. No wonder our Lord doesn't want it thrown aside, doesn't want it possibly whittled away by the wickedness of this world and by our unpreparedness. And so he continually reminds his church, as we see in our text, behold, I am coming quickly. And then hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. When I think of those words, I think of white knuckles. There are things that we hold on to in life with different degrees of intensity. But when it comes to our faith, when it comes to the salvation our Lord Jesus has given us, he says, hold fast. That means tight. Squeeze it tightly with your heart. Don't let anything take this away from you. The things that you value and treasure the highest, you're going to hold on to the tightest and the great with the greatest intensity. And our Lord Jesus is reminding us of what is at stake here. The fact that our eternal, forever future lies in the balance. And the blessing he's given us by faith in him, he doesn't want us to lose that at all. Now he goes on to say, I will write on him, this individual who believes in me, the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. Isn't it ironic that Jerusalem is the name that God uses to call his church in this world? And the actual city of Jerusalem is a place that is just full of nothing but violence and difficulty and terror quite often. I was watching a documentary a number of years ago on any new apartment or any new home that is built in the city of Jerusalem has to now include a particular room that could survive on its own air system for 48 hours in case there was ever a bomb or some kind of gas attack on the city. That's how dangerous their lives are. You have to create your house with one room in it that completely filters out any possible deadly gas for 48 hours. Adds a lot of cost to construction. That's what it's like to live inside the city of Jerusalem with that kind of tension and danger. In a sense, it epitomizes the fallenness of this world. So how ironic that God would use that name, that city that has been recaptured and destroyed and bombed for centuries, going back, way back before the time of Christ. How often that city has had to be rebuilt. That God would use that name of that city to speak about heaven for us. But notice he calls it a new Jerusalem. This is the city of God that where there is no death, there's no violence, there's no sickness, there's no sadness. The perfect home of his saints and the perfect home of his angels. And your Lord Jesus, who came to earn that for you, wants to make sure that you and I don't miss out on seeing that gorgeous, beautiful new city that he's prepared for us. And so he says to us, hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Now, one last point I want to make is this. Notice, when he says, hold fast what you have, that no one take your crown, notice that he's declaring to you that you already possess it. I don't want anybody to leave this campus ever doubting and wondering whether the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has taken care of things for you to have heaven or not. Because of the work of Christ, through faith in him, we can be said to already possess this. This is a crown that we already have, and our Lord doesn't want us to lose it. What a marvelous, wonderful Savior we have, who is so concerned for us not only that he became incarnate to redeem us, rose again from the dead, ascended to heaven to prepare a home for us, but he even comes back through his word frequently and through the office of the ministry and warns us so that we don't lose this wonderful, precious gift. How fantastic it is going to be to know each other in the New Jerusalem. Amen. Please rise. Please turn with me to page 147 in the front part of your hymn book. Page 147. You'll find there collect number 3. And we pray together. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, so that by his coming we may worship you with pure minds. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Depart in peace.